are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, it is a pleasure to be with you today. It's sunny here in Philadelphia. It's February 28th, 2022. And oh, what a week we've had. You've been hearing me say this for over a year. So let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up this program to you today. We offer this up that you will touch many hearts, those who have never listened to this radio network. We pray for the intercession of your Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints. And Lord Jesus, we offer this program to you to touch many hearts, to heal hearts, and for all those who are listening who are suffering to receive some form of healing from your heavenly host. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Not having a guest today, my friends. We have a lot of territory to cover. Next week, I have Father Jason Kozinski, who will be on with me, and we're going to be discussing Lent, how to embrace it at a deeper level, deeper than you've ever embraced Lent before. And in praying about today, with all the things going on in the world, my sense in prayer is that I should divide the program up into three areas. First, we're going to be talking about Lent because Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And then we're going to be talking about prayer a little bit. And then I'm going to get into some heavy duty content on the warning. Yes, the warning. So the preparation, of course, is Lent, then to prayer. And then I'm saving the rest of the information probably after 4:30 to the warning, some information that perhaps many of us have forgotten. And so we'll revisit that in light of all the things happening in the Ukraine. It's very important for us to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and surrounding countries, especially in Poland, our sisters and brothers who are taking care of the Ukrainian people, the mothers, the children, the elderly, the disabled, and the orphans that are some of them are bound in basements and bomb shelters, and some have been taken to other countries. So, my friends, we need to pray like no other time in history. The Ukrainian people are truly praying. They're praying the rosary. The priests went into the bomb shelters and buildings yesterday to celebrate Mass. They're praying on their knees in the streets. The soldiers have rosaries around them. Talk about a faith-filled people. We have so much to learn about their faith. So let us pray for protection. Even if you're sitting in a rocking chair right now knitting and thinking you can't do a thing, yes, you can. All of our prayers combined can move mountains. You know, Our Lady says about prayer and fasting, it can avert wars. So now is the time to pray and to fast, my friends. So let us begin with a little history about Lent, because many of us think we know where Lent originated, but according to some of our parents that are post-Vatican II, many people don't know how Lent evolved. So the first three centuries of the Christian experience, my friends, preparation for the Easter feast usually covered, wait to hear this, a period of 1 to 2 days. That's right, only 1 to 2 days, and maybe perhaps a week at the most. St. Irenaeus of Lyon even speaks of a 40-hour preparation for Easter. So the first reference to Lent as a period of 40 days preparation occurs in the teachings of the First Council of Nicaea in A.D. 325. By the end of the 4th century, a Lenten period of 40 days was established and accepted. Did you know that? So in the early days, Lent quickly became associated with the sacrament of baptism, since Easter was the great baptismal feast, and those who were preparing to be baptized participated in the season of Lent in preparation for the reception of the sacrament of baptism. I'm sure many of you do know this. And Lent is often portrayed as a journey from one point in time to another point in time. Lenten preparation is not limited to those who are preparing to be baptized and join the church. For many Catholics, Lent is a journey that's measured from Ash Wednesday through Easter Sunday. Lent's measured from Ash Wednesday to the beginning of the period of time known as the Triduum. Now, the Triduum, I'm going to spell that because some of us don't know, you know, we say words, but we have no idea how to spell it. Triduum begins after Mass on Holy Thursday and continues through Good Friday and concludes with the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday. Lent officially ends, friends, with the proclamation of Rejoice, O Heavenly Powers, during the Mass of Holy Saturday. And whatever yardstick you use, the journey is measured. It's not only the period of time that's important, but the essential experiences of the journey that are necessary for a full appreciation of what is being celebrated. Now, the Lenten journey is also a process of spiritual growth, presuming movement from one state of being to another. For example, some of us may find ourselves troubled and anxious at the beginning of Lent. I really don't know anyone who isn't troubled and anxious at this point at the beginning of Lent as a result of our life choices, wars, unanswered questions. And at the end of Lent, we may fully expect a sense of conversion, a sense of peace, or perhaps simply understanding and acceptance. And so in this sense, Lent is a movement from one point of view to another, from one interpretation of life to different interpretations. Now, the scriptures, psalms, prayers, rituals, practices, and penance are the components of this Lenten journey. So each component, tried and tested by years of tradition, is one of the engines that drives the season and which brings the weary traveler, which could be any one of us, to the joys of Easter. Now, according to Fulton Sheen, a popular understanding of Lent is that it is a penitential period of time during which people attempt to become more sensitive to the role of sin in their lives. We're not talking about being sensitive to turning on your TV and watching the news. Lenten sermons will speak of personal sin, coming to an awareness of the sins of others and the effects such sin may have. And finally, the sin that can be found within our larger society and culture, globally, nationally, and locally. So sin and an awareness of sin is balanced by an emphasis on the what? The love and acceptance that God still has for humanity, despite the sinful condition in which we still find ourselves. Are you aware of that? So each component, tried and tested by years of tradition, is one of the engines that drives the Lenten season and brings us in our weariness to the joys of Easter. So, for 40 days, so here's a trivia question. How long is Lent? Excuse me, 40 days. The example of Jesus in the desert fasting and praying is imitated. It is time to center our attention on conversion. And during Lent, the expectation is to examine our lives and through the practice of prayer, fasting, works of charity, seeking to conform our lives to Christ. Very, very important. I'm going to say it again. The practice of prayer, fasting, and works of charity. So for some of us, it'll be a turning toward the mystery of God in Christ. Whatever the pattern chosen by a particular pilgrim, and that's you, that's me, for an observance of Lent, it is hoped that you will be provided all that you need this Lenten season. Yes, all that you will need. So I'm going to give you a prayer that Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote, and he had a question. And the audio tape, for those of you who remember him, he had an audio tape called Sin. So God, in his mercy, had instituted the sacrament by which the sins committed after baptism may be remitted. No human being would ever have thought of this sacrament, for it is something like a resurrection. We rise after we're dead. It's a journey back towards God, and it enables us to get rid of infections before they become chronic diseases and epidemics. The sacrament of reconciliation is the inflowing of God's mercy. It's an opportunity for the increase of the grace of Calvary. It is a medicine for this infection of the soul, the healing of our wounds, a homecoming, an undoing of the past, and an opportunity to get a fresh start in life, another bath, a kind of secondary baptism. Those are the words of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen on an audio tape called Sin. So the prayer that he wrote for this specific audio tape is this: Lord, encourage us in this season of Lent to arise from the sickness of sin. As the cross of ashes is traced on our forehead on Wednesday, may we be reminded that Christ's conquest of death is our entrance to a new life. We pray that our observance of this season will show us worthy of his sacrifice. So fasting is the soul of prayer. So select, my friends, a habit or attitude from which to fast as part of your spiritual program for Lent. Can you do that? So let's continue. Let's continue for prayer, into prayer. So what did Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen describe as three different types of prayer? Are you ready? Excuse me, and I hope my voice holds out. So Fulton Sheen said, in vocal prayer, we go to God on foot. Let me read that again. In vocal prayer, we go to God on foot. And vocal prayer involves praying with particular words, either mentally or out loud. The rosary is a vocal prayer. We use our powers of speech to give voice to prayer, wishing to give thanks and praise to God and to ask for the graces necessary to grow in holiness. The Our Father, which Jesus taught us to pray, is the perfect form of vocal prayer. Now, the second type of prayer that Archbishop Fulton Sheen described was meditation. We go to God on horseback. So first, in vocal prayer, we go to God on foot. Second, in meditation, we go to God on horseback. So meditation comes from the Latin word meditatio, which means thinking it over. A reflective form of prayer, it often begins with reading the Word of God, which we all should be doing every day, and allowing it to resonate in our mind and heart. So meditation, my friends, engages our powers of thought and imagination, as well as our emotions and desires. So it marshals our interior powers to focus on the mysteries of our faith, on God's will for our lives. How many of us are still seeking God's will for our life? The practice of daily meditation is so important. It's a very important way to grow in holiness. So St. Isaiah the Hermit, he summed up, this is what Fulton Sheen tells us, summed up grace of meditation. Meditation melts our evil thoughts and withers the passions of the soul. It enlightens our mind, makes the understanding radiant, and fills our hearts with joy. Meditation wounds demons and drives away thoughts of wickedness. Meditation is a mirror for the mind and light for the conscience. It tames lust, calms fury, dispels wrath, and drives away bitterness and puts irritability to flight. So remember, Fulton Sheen said, meditation, we're going to God on horseback. It also illuminates our mind and expels laziness from us. Yes, it expels laziness. So the third type of prayer is contemplation. Vocal, meditative, and now contemplation. This is where Fulton Sheen said, we go to God in a jet. Well, that's my favorite one. Contemplative prayer, he said, is a prayer beyond words, in which we simply gaze upon our Lord in silence and love. It may be likened to the loving silence of a happily married husband and wife who no longer need a lot of words to convey their oneness of mind and heart. So contemplative prayer, dear listeners, is a gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us to trustfully surrender ourselves to the Lord and His will for us. And the practice of contemplative prayer, by the way, as St. Teresa of Avila taught us, is an indication of our growing friendship with Christ. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas added to this type of contemplative prayer, which Fulton Sheen said, contemplative prayer, we go to God in a jet. He said, St. Thomas Aquinas, contemplation brings us into God's sweetness. It decreases sadness. It gives us rest from the distraction of the senses, blessing us with the ability to perceive more keenly interior inspiration from God. And by the way, it increases, strengthens, and directs our affections towards God. Did you know that? So what do we pray for? What do we pray for? So in St. John's Gospel, our Lord Jesus commands us to ask in prayer 9 times. Supplication and petition prayer is God's idea, not ours. And it's not just a result of our personal needs. The Lord wants us to ask Him for certain things. And sacred scripture tells us what the Lord wishes us to pray for. So first, pray for yourself. You pray for personal growth. Yes, you are allowed to pray for yourself. I don't know how many times in all my years of ministry I've heard, oh, I can't pray for myself. I'm going to pray for others. Well, the Lord wants you to pray for yourself too. Prayer for personal growth to become Christ-like. Now, write this down. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. And for personal holiness, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. And pray for a deep conviction to evangelize one-on-one. The Lord wants us to pray for our family. Yes, pray for your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, that all the people related to you may become an unbroken heritage of God, fearing God, loving people. The Lord wants us to pray for our community. Pray for the conversion and welfare of your city. This is what the Ukrainians are doing and what we need to do with them. Jeremiah 29, verses 7. Pray for a visible witness and unity among God's people in our communities. Philippians 4, verses 2 to 3. Again, the Lord wants us to pray for community and unity and conversion and the welfare of our cities and countries. The Lord wants us to pray for the church. Yes, we need to pray for the unity of purpose, vision, and heart, and pray for the desire to please God rather than people. Oh, I'm going to say this again and again. Pray for the desire to please God rather than people. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. Pray for our church leaders with love. Pray for the humility to surrender to the will of God, fidelity to Christ, and the magisterium. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Pray for our nation. Pray for national repentance. Oh, yes, national repentance. Also pray for the moral conscience of our nation to know who God is. How do we need this today? We need this so much. Pray for the moral conscience of our nation to know who God is. Psalm 33, verse 12. Pray for our leaders in government and pray for their wisdom, their integrity, so they may be aware of their accountability before the Lord. Oh, do you think that's forgotten sometimes, especially in light of those who would murder babies in the womb? We have to pray that they may be aware of their accountability before the Lord. We need to pray for non-believers, pray for their openness to the Holy Spirit's promptings, and for the conversion to Christ. Pray that believers will be patient and sensitive with non-believers. And pray for the sick, my friends. Pray for the Lord's healing power of mind and body and soul for someone who is ill. That's from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Yes, we are supposed to pray for those in prison. Pray so the prisoners may come to an understanding of Christ's forgiveness. Pray that the Lord strengthens their resolve against sin and that he comforts them in their loneliness. And pray for children. Pray for the preborn who have been aborted and for those who face abortion today. Pray for their little lives that they've been devastated by divorce. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and Matthew 19, verses 14. It is very, very important to pray, my friends. We need to pray because, as Jesse Romero shared on radio probably a year and a half ago with me, Lord, prepare my hands for battle. From Psalm 144, verse 1. We need to prepare our hands for battle, for you see what's happening in the Ukraine. Dear brothers and sisters, unlike any other time in history, and we've had many times, you are seeing evil. You are seeing evil. And you are seeing the people of the Ukraine pray in unity, in community, trusting, and they're asking for our prayers. So I'm asking you today, before Lent begins, to pray for them, to pray for their safety, and to pray for the Lord to intervene. So this is why I wanted to really discuss the warning today. I've seen many sites on social media, I've heard a lot of things, and I thought, you know what, it's time to visit the warning again, because many people have forgotten, or they don't understand what the warning is. So hold on to your seatbelts. This is not going to be easy information to swallow. I'm going to divide part of it before our break and the rest of it after our break. So you have a little bit of background about Lent and what Fulton Sheen said about prayer and who to pray for and what the Lord wants us to pray for. And we need to prepare our hands for battle. Lent begins Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And yes, the fasting is so critically important because Our Lady said prayer and fasting can avert wars. So here we go. We're going to talk about the warning. And this is not my opinion. This is the teaching of the church. We learn from St. Pius the Ninth, St. Pope Paul the Sixth, and St. Edmund Campion, from the illumination of conscience will be a direct intervention from God, a great wonder which will fill the world with astonishment, a terrible warning like a judgment, yet with his tenderness, which is necessary because people's consciences have become darkened by so many evil deeds. God will reveal all men's consciences. That's you, Joe, Mary, Loretta, Frank, all of us who are in homes, apartments, in tents, in RVs, if you're in your car on the highway, God will reveal all of our consciences and try every man of each kind of religion. Whether you're Roman Catholic, Episcopalian, Buddhist, no matter what, you will have your conscience revealed. Everyone will see themselves as God sees them, and they will be forced to recognize their sin. Most people will not give ear to it, but it will be essential to replace the moral order. As a result, many will repent and be saved. Yep. At first, shadows will cease to be shadows and instead become a most terrible darkness that will obscure the sun's light. Even the stars and the moon will fail to shine. Then the vault of the sky will be illuminated by the colliding of two celestial bodies, producing a boom noise and lighting up the entire earth. Panic will ensue, and the day will be brighter than normal, and the night will shine like the day. Then Jesus will appear in the sky on his cross, not in his suffering, but in his glory. This sign of the Lord will be visible in every part of the world, no matter one where you live. From the holes made by the puncture in Jesus' hands, feet, and side, brilliant rays of love and mercy will fall upon the entire earth. From the start of the 20th century to today, February 28, 2022, heaven has provided shape and detail to this unparalleled event. On August 2nd, 1934, Jesus spoke to St. Faustina Kowalska of the cosmic nature of the illumination, which would come before the day of justice. All light in the heavens will be extinguished, and there will be a great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the holes where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth a brilliant light, which will illuminate the earth for a period of time. The Gospel of Matthew tells us of this moment. This is not something some crazy person made up. This is told in the Gospels and by our saints. The Gospel of Matthew tells us of this moment in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. So I want you to look this up. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Yes, they will see. And he will send out his angels with a trumpet blast, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Again, go to Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. So after the break, we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking about the illumination of conscience from the church's perspective, and also, my friends, from the sacred scriptures. So stay tuned, and right after this break, we will be discussing this.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
My friends, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And today we're talking about Lent, prayer, and the warning. So it's very important that you understand that these teachings are not my personal opinion, nor the ministry. These are the teaching of the church and of the saints and of the sacred scriptures. So I'm trying to lead you through a study of the sacred scriptures and of the saints as you lean on this to have a better understanding of this terminology. So how do we learn of a coming illumination of conscience? I know, my friends, from many priests around the world that people are having and have been having an illumination of conscience over the past 2 years. And this means they're shown, you may be one, shown your sins at night as you lay asleep. Are you going over your life and all the sins, and are you repenting of some of the things that happened in your life? Are you shown moments when you were sinful, when you were out of order with God, and then, of course, you move to repentance and ask the Lord to forgive you? So many of us may be already going through little mini illumination of consciences already, and I know a lot of the holy priests around the world have already commented that this illumination of conscience has begun with many, many people in a small way. So the first historical record we know of the mention of the illumination of conscience is from St. Edmund Campion in 1540 to 1581. He was a brilliant Jesuit priest and martyr from London, England. He wrote, "I pronounced a great day, not wherein any temporal potential should minister, but wherein the terrible judge should reveal all men's consciences and try every man of each kind of religion. This is the day of change." So St. Edmund Campion, a Jesuit priest, called it a day of change. So the words of this great Catholic saint, he was martyred in 1581. He was actually canonized in 1970. Echoes those of many prophecies to follow. And centuries later, God would reveal again illuminations to a great Italian mystic, one step from sainthood, Blessed Anna Maria Tiesia, 1769 to 1837. So she had to stare in to see the most secret thoughts of persons nearby or far off. She knew. She could read their souls. Her prophecies, by the way, have withstood the test of time, and hers, for the first recorded words to call the event, she received this, illumination of conscience. A great purification will come upon the world, preceded by the illumination of conscience, in which everyone will see themselves as God sees them. Now, it's very important to understand, we will see ourselves as God sees us. He also indicated that it would save many souls, because many would repent as a result. So God had only begun to alert the world of this event just a couple decades ago. Can you believe that? The maturity, according to Pope Paul VI, the maturity of conscience, most difficult to evaluate today, is the discernment between evil and good. Humanity has performed so many evil deeds that its conscience is now darkened by sin. We will need a terrible warning, and many will refuse to listen to this warning. Most people will not heed it, but it will be essential to replace our moral order. Many have lived using their freedom for every kind of pleasure, and they're under the gaze of our God. But this judgment will be direct at the same time with his tenderness and his mercy, and they will be forced to recognize their sin and to separate their sin from their goodness. This time, the sins of the world will be revealed. That came from Pope Paul VI. Yes, Pope Paul VI. So, my friends, God is sending a warning to remedy the darkened and shadowy conscience of this world. And according to his prophets in all the writings, much of humanity has become blind to sin. And the heart of God the Father is breaking. He does not want to see us fall into the abyss of sin. And God the Father has reached out to all of us and to the world with his tender mercy. He has sent his blessed mother to earth to help us time and time again. But too many have rejected his graces and forced his hand. Yes, forced his hand. Do you believe that? Where are you today? I want you to stop and think. Where are you today with all this? A mystic and stigmatist named Janie Garza, many of you heard her on the air years ago, who had the full approval, by the way, of her bishop to share her messages, asked Jesus on September 9th, 1995, "Beloved Savior, will the illumination scare people?" And Jesus answered, "The fear that will inflame their hearts is the holy fear of the immense power of my Father, especially for those many souls that have continued to deny the existence of my Father. These will be the souls that will experience tremendous fear. For those who believe that they live in the light, but continue to break every commandment given by God to these souls, Saint Joseph said, these souls will not be able to see the state of their souls and live." Are you saying that people who do not love God's commandments and live them will die when they see their souls? Now, I want you to stop. And Saint Joseph answered, "Yes, my little one, that's how it will be for many unless they repent and decide for conversion. There is still time for repentance, but time is growing shorter with each day that goes by." So what will happen during the warning to those who believe and love God and serve God? Those who love God and their neighbor will endure the warning with grace and be much better for it. So Conchita from Garabandal, I had the great pleasure of meeting with one of her spiritual directors. Oh, geez. Long, long time ago, like 1990, the Garabandal visionary, that she was very scared of the warning. Conchita reassured her, "Oh, yes, but after the warning, you will love God so much more." And the visionary Jacinta also said, "The warning is for us to draw closer to him and to increase our faith. Therefore, one should prepare for that day, but not await it with fear. God does not send things for the sake of fear, but rather with justice and love and his mercy." So it's very, very important. He does not want us to be a fearful people. Those of us who try to serve and love the Lord, he does not want us to be fearful. Only God knows the day and the hour of the warning. No one. And do not listen to anyone. They do not know the hour and the day of the warning. The exact timing of the Lord's prophesied events throughout history has been elusive and unknown, and prophecies about a coming Messiah can be found centuries and centuries before God became man, as recorded in the Hebrew Bible, written between 1450 BC and 430 BC. Jesus spoke to his disciples of the many generations of Israelites who awaited him with great hope. "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophecies and righteous people long to see what you see, but you did not see it." So Jacinta, one of the visionaries at Garabandal, said that when the warning comes, conditions will be at their worst. There will be persecution, and many people will no longer be practicing their religion. When asked what the world will be like when the warning comes, she responded with one word, bad. The other visionary, Mary Lowley, spoke of how it would seem the church had disappeared, and it will be very hard to practice a religion for priests to say mass during this time or for people to open the doors of their churches. Whoever practices it will have to go into hiding. So when Mary Lowley was asked on July 27th, 1975, can you tell us anything else about the warning? She answered, all I can say is that it is very near and that it is very important that we get ready for it. And Janie Garzy in 1995, remember, her messages were approved by her local bishop. This isn't just somebody random. She asked our Lord directly, oh, Jesus, will this happen very soon? And Jesus answered, our humble servant, this will happen within a short period. Do not be distracted with dates, but prepare every day with strong prayer. Many who worry about these times will not live to see these things take place. This is why Holy Scripture warns everybody not to be concerned about tomorrow, for tomorrow is promised to no one. The present day has enough trials and crosses. Know that when we speak about such things to come, this is for the people to convert and abandon their evil ways. Every day is an opportunity for souls to convert. People should not wait for such things to come to convert, but they should convert now before it's too late. Do you remember Father Stefano Gobbi? How many of you? Raise your hand. I wish I could see you. Stefano Gobbi, in the late 20th century, he insinuated that the warning or second Pentecost is imminent. Yep. He came to this area. In fact, his translator was one of the narrators for my video, The Father's Gift. Yes, he said, the warning or second Pentecost is imminent. And to a prayer group or a cenacle of the Marian movement of priests, the Blessed Mother said through Father Gobbi, and so I invite you to spend this day in the cenacle, gathered together in prayer with me, Mother of Mercy, in the hope and trembling expectation of the second Pentecost, now close at hand. And that was June 4th, 1995. Yes, you've heard many of our, I think even Kathleen, through some of the locutions that she's received, talking about the second Pentecost, Ralph Martin, the second Pentecost, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's coming. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's coming. The second Pentecost, according to Father Stefano Gobbi, will come to bring this humanity, which has again become pagan and which is living under the powerful influence of the evil one, back to its full communion of life with the Lord, who has created, redeemed, and saved it. Now, there are many Marian movement of priests, cenacles throughout the world now. There was a time when it was very quiet. There was a misunderstanding. But even in the Philadelphia area, there are cenacles of priests studying the messages of Father Stefano Gobbi. And the Marian movement of priests continue to pray, very, very holy priest. So how should we prepare, friends, for the warning? So the advice from heaven on how to prepare for the warning is quite simple. It echoes the request of the Blessed Mother in her apparitions of the last two centuries. Go look at Fatima, Lourdes, Borang, Bonneau. Look at these. She's been calling out the world, asking us to repent to Medjugorje, turn back to God, amend our lives, do penance to make reparation for our own sins and the sins of the world. She has called us out, pleading with us to pray, 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 and to take the practices of our Catholic faith seriously. We need to take our Catholic faith seriously. The souls of our children are at stake. Yes, the souls of our children. Poor souls, all of you robbed of the knowledge of my love, be ready for the judgment of mine. Do you see how important these times are? So don't wait for a mini judgment. You must start to look at yourselves more closely so that you can see your faults and repent. You are fortunate to have the faith needed to read, believe, and accept this message. You must not go away indifferent to it. You must examine yourself more and more every day and pray. Pray now more than ever. Remember, the world standards are a false indication of my justice. I'm your God, and while I'm perfectly merciful to those who repent, I am perfectly just to those who do not. And many people think that I, your God, won't mind. It's only a little, they say. But it's not a matter of minding. I want people to love me. Love respects little things as well as the big things. And in most cases, these little things are not so little. So do not judge your actions or others' actions. You're unable to judge. You're incapable of judging because you cannot read a man's heart. You must love me with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole soul, and with your whole strength. Today is the day. Do your best to renounce yourself and let Christ reign in your life. Above all, do not fear. I don't tell you all this to become scared. Simply try to become better people each day. More than this, I could not ask. I am your God. I am perfectly just and perfectly merciful. You are sons and daughters of mine. Does not a father look after his children? I send this message to spare you from any of your pain. I can. But the pain that you experience by seeing the darkness of your soul is an act of love on my behalf. Do you not see that this will return many, many souls to a fuller love of mine? This will save many souls from the fires of hell. I am the Lord your God. You are my sons and daughters, whom I love very much, and my greatest delight is in being with you. In summary, to prepare for the warning, my friends, you need to repent, to believe in the gospel, to love God with all your mind, heart, and soul, and strength, and to love all of our neighbors as ourselves. To prepare is to forgive. Live a good, good life, just and simple life. The prophets of the warning, as well as the Blessed Mother, in her apparitions, have given us specific spiritual practices to follow. Frequent confession. Holy Mass, fasting, Bible reading, prayer from the heart, especially the rosary, prayers of family, visit to the Blessed Sacrament, consecrating oneself and the family to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These are heaven's prescriptions, my friends, for living life to its fullest in grace and being ready to see God and ourselves as we really are. So what will happen after the warning? Those who repent will be given an unquenchable thirst for the light. During the warning and for a short time afterwards, Satan will be blinded, unable to tempt souls. Without this divine blinding, souls would not be able to see the absolute truth of their state before God, nor have the absolute freedom of will to choose God or reject him. The second Pentecost, said Our Lady to Father Gobi, will descend into our hearts to transform them and make them sensitive and open to love, humility, and mercy, free of all egoism and of all wickedness. And it will be that the Spirit of the Lord will transform the hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. There would be a great joy. Yes, listen to this. Great joy for all the faithful people of God. His people will be happy. There will be love in families everywhere. people will benefit from their labor. They will build their homes and live to enjoy them. They will see their children's children, and all will live long lives. Sinners will be converted. The weak will find support. The sick will receive healing. And those far away will return to the house of the Father. Those separated and divided will attain full unity. In this way, the miracle of the second Pentecost will take place. It will come with the triumph of the Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart in the world. Only then will you see how the tongues of fire of the Holy Spirit of love will renew the whole world, which will become completely transformed by the greatest manifestations of divine mercy. I pray that this has touched you in a very powerful way and reminded you, my friends, of what's happening and what will happen. Isn't it interesting that most of the refugees from the Ukraine are going to Poland, not just because of proximity? Poland, Our Lady of Częstochowa, St. Faustina Kowalski, Divine Mercy image. And they're continuing to pray and hope that all will end well. It's a very powerful message. Look between the lines. Look and pray. Blessed Anna Maria Tiagi said a great purification will come upon the world, preceded by an illumination of conscience in which everyone will see themselves as God sees them. Again, she was a wife, mother, mystic. I have shared with you that many of my priest friends who are in ministry around the world have shared that people have been having an illumination of conscience. They're seeing their sins. They think, oh, isn't that interesting? I'm thinking about when I was a teenager in college or what I did. And now that's an illumination of conscience. The Lord is bringing you little mini illuminations for you to repent, to truly be sorry. And St. Pope Pius IX said, since the whole world is against God and his church, it's evident that he has reserved the victory over his enemies to himself. And this will be ever more obvious when it is considered that the root of all our present evils is to be found in the fact that those with talents and vigor crave earthly pleasures and not only desert God, but repudiate him altogether. It appears they cannot be brought back to any other way except through that which cannot be ascribed to any secondary agency. St. Faustina said, write this, before I come as the just judge, I come as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, this sign in the sky will be given to mankind. All light in the heavens will be extinguished, and there will be great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the holes where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth a brilliant light, which will illuminate the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. That's St. Faustina. That's not somebody on a mountain somewhere. This is St. Faustina and our popes and many of our saints. And St. Pope Paul VI said the maturity of conscience most difficult to evaluate today is the discernment between evil and good. Humanity has performed so many evil deeds that its conscience is now darkened by sin. Many have lived as they freely desire under the gaze of our God, and this judgment will be a direct intervention at the same time with his tenderness. This time, the sin of the world will be revealed. So many of you, I know our listeners and part of this apostolate, remember Maria Esperanza of Betania, Venezuela. She was a wife, mother, mystic, stigmatist. The love, Our Lady said to Maria, the love of my Jesus will be the door that will open hearts to give access to a beautiful era that must revive people to a glorious teaching of unity. Take advantage of time, because the hour is arriving when my Son will appear before everyone as a judge and savior. You must be in the necessary conditions to live with him on the great day, do not think that is distant. That was Our Lady talking to Maria Esperanza. And the fourth message of Betania, Our Lady to Maria, Our Lady said, little children, I'm your mother, and I come to seek you, so that you may prepare yourselves to be able to bring my message of reconciliation. There is coming the great moment of a great day of light. The consciences of this beloved people must be violently shaken so that they may put their houses in order and offer to Jesus the most reparation for the daily infidelities that are committed on the part of sinners. It is the hour of decision for all of mankind. Yes, it is the hour of decision, my friends. This Wednesday is the start of Lent, our Lenten season, a very important time of prayer and fasting, as we discussed at the beginning of the program. I want you to consider all that we discussed today, all that we discussed and shared. I want you to remember that Our Lady has her hand on the Ukraine. St. Michael has his hand on the Ukraine. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for Vladimir Putin, that his heart will be transformed, that he will not do anything to harm the people of the Ukraine any further than what has been done now. We must pray. We must pray, my friends. This may be the most important Lent that we have ever, ever shared in our lifetime. I want you tonight, after the radio program and after Joe Trainers, to open up to the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast, between the vestibule and the altar. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. That's from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Spare your people, O Lord. It is time that we pray. It's very nice for all of us to just listen to radio broadcast, but it's very important for all of us to pray from the depths of our heart, from the silence of our hearts, to consecrate our homes to the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Mary and our families. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, heal me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be from the evil one. Protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. And close to you bid me, that with your saints and angels, I may praise you forever and ever. And into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. Until next week, we'll have Father Jason Kozinski on, Embracing Lent at a Deeper Level. I pray that you have a blessed Lent, a blessed Ash Wednesday. And remember, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you in a very special way. And remember to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. God bless you.